here I will come to be on my side. Now we're just a couple of sided men on our respective sides. I'm on the left, you are on the right. But as you see it, they see the opposite, don't they?
I'm on the right there.
And I'm on the left. So what do they see? They see it as it is right now because they can read that.
They can. It says two cents gets distracted.
Rugby's greatest podcast.
We're going to go with that, aren't we?
Well, apparently, you could just say the greatest.
Whatever.
There doesn't have to be any proof. The fact that we have never been at the top of any ratings of anything. We've been going for 5 years. We have hundreds of thousands of views.
This is true.
Which,
you know, it counts for something.
When you got when you got over 100 episodes, hundreds of thousands of views, what would we be? We probably get...
We've even got a helicopter flying around.
Yeah, the paps are trying to get us. Would we have a 500,000 views?
I don't know.
Maybe-ish. Getting there. We'd be over 200,000 or 300,000 views, I'd say.
Probably.
We're doing it. We're making it. And if you're one of those people who has watched, what are you doing with your life? You've made some terrible, terrible errors.
Some guy said last week he likes the podcast because we're not like former players, which that's part of the charm.
But also, as soon as you turn around, you're like, ooh.
We
these guys aren't former players.
We don't know anybody personally, so we can say what we want.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to offend anybody.
Name a rugby player.
Bryn Gatland. I'm taller than that motherfucker.
Bryn Gatland, great at NPC level. Okay at Super Rugby, but you don't want him in an international team. You don't even like him at Super Rugby level, do you?
He was all right.
Bryn.
Solid.
Solid without being
amazing.
Without
being spectacular.
Who's he played for internationally? Anyone?
Nobody.
He's never got a call up.
His dad's pretty famous.
Yeah, his dad is more famous than he is. His dad was an All Black.
But he never got a test cap.
Did he ever get a test cap?
No.
Really? He toured with him in 1990 on the French tour.
Fitzy wouldn't let him.
Fuck you, Fitz.
Fitzy was just like, nah. I played the whole game.
Really?
Yep.
And and these days, like, the hooker always comes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would, if it was in a different area, he would have got some caps.
He would have got loads.
Oh, I wonder if he...
It must burn a little bit.
100%. Absolutely. Poor old Warren.
He's done all right for himself.
Well, yes. And I tell you what, you can't really blame him for how Wales are going at the moment, can you?
I feel like doing a video about coaches.
Jeez, as soon as you pull it.
Terrible.
This is a non-alcoholic
He's
beer.
He's going with a non-alcohol. It's like gluten-free bread. It's just missing that something.
Tastes like a little... It's like...
It's got nothing on that watermelon beer from last week.
No, that watermelon beer was not quite as muggy today, which I'm...
This is true. I came prepared for mugginess with the old Ballard t-shirt, Ballard boxing.
But it's a comfortable temperature at the moment. It's nice.
This is nice.
Mm. But what was I going to say? Like, this is more like... It feels like it's apple juice that's confused whether it's beer or not.
Right.
You know, it's like trans beer.
It's I should do a video about whether sacking or the coach resigning actually helps the team or not.
Oh, the
Gatland didn't. Yeah, the bouncing cat thingy, right?
The dead cat bounced. Yeah.
Because we haven't really seen it from Wales. Scotland are thinking, maybe our coach needs to go. We've sacked our coach.
Would you be able
to... The Box sacked their coach years ago, Alistair Coetzee, you know?
Well, that whole metaphor really comes from other codes.
It's football, isn't it?
Football, even rugby league.
Really?
Do they
sack their coaches in rugby league?
They flick their coaches. There'll be two or three coaches a year that get flicked.
Really? Is it that cutthroat?
At least one or two. Mm. I've gone from two or three to one or two.
Okay.
Yeah. Who got sacked last year?
None or one.
One or two. I can't remember who they were.
Mm. Doesn't really happen in rugby.
Doesn't happen in Super Rugby, very rarely. When was the last time we sacked a... Mm. Do we sack... Tana Umaga get kind of sacked? Or did he just...
Kerwin was like, I'll step down. Tana was like, I'm not going to come back as head coach. Like, at the end of the season, they'll be like, yeah, nah, it's fine.
No, they do it mid-season quite often. I think the Newcastle Knights lost their coach last year, mid-season.
Okay.
Who else lost their coach? I can't remember.
In football, it's loads. Like in the Premier League.
Yeah. If you're going to get on a bad skid, you're gone. Yeah. That flap is open. Have you noticed?
The flappy flap flap.
I'm gonna close that flap.
Okay.
Do you mind?
If it's gonna distract you. He's easily distracted.
It's true. It's not just a gimmick. It's the God's honest truth.
He just said it's the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
You probably didn't hear it. You might have heard it very muffled. You're stabbing yourself.
Distracted by pain there. Yes, but I do. The reason it's called distracted sports and distracted, I have ADHD.
The surprise of nobody.
Yeah. So distracted. One of the common traits of people with ADHD is we can be distracted.
I remember my dad saying that to me once after, like, he'd watched a full episode. Yeah. He was like, "Whoa, that Tony. He just tends to go on a tangent, then you try to pull him back in." I'm like, "That's the show.
You got it.
That's the show.
You got it. Oh.
Yeah. I'm the straight shooter.
Yeah, and I'm the whoa guy.
You're the guy in the hat.
I'm the guy in the hat who hates South Africa, apparently. I don't hate South Africa. We haven't got into any sort of South African banter so far this year.
No, this is true.
We're 2.5 episodes in.
Let's find a way to bring up the Rugby World Cup final from 2023.
Robbery. No, yeah, you won it. Congratulations. How's your week been, though, mate?
Yeah, not bad.
Are you back into the routine of things? Kids are back at school.
Kids are back at school.
Are you taking them to swimming and you're managing to sneak in for a couple of cheeky swims?
I had a cheeky swim today, yeah.
Yeah, for free?
For free. Love a free cheeky swim.
What would you do if somebody goes, "Excuse me, sir, I know you came with your kids with their swimming lessons, but you didn't pay"?
I don't know. The thought has never crossed my mind. Prove it, motherfucker.
Exactly. I tell you what, I've always paid. I'm the biggest payer here. If anyone's paid the most, it's got to be me.
Yeah.
Ask anybody. They all know I'm the biggest payer. Just go full Trumpian on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the way to get your way in the
I think
the
so. Day and age. Just go hard.
Yeah, attack.
Yeah.
And you know what? You've got an ugly face. You look like a pig. This is really an embarrassing moment for you. You do terrible things for this leisure center, and I think they should fire you. You know?
Yeah. I don't watch the news, eh?
Well, that's basically his.
Okay.
He's caught in terrible situations, and he just attacks. Learned that from Roy Cohn. You know who Roy Cohn is?
No.
Well, Roy Cohn was an absolute treacherous character, almost like it feels like a caricature, of a political figure in the US system. He was a massive figure, like the right-hand man in the McCarthy investigations.
Communists.
Yeah, went after the communists and went over. It was like a real, real cutthroat. Went after them, knew all the dirty tricks. Also taught Roger Stone his techniques of...
I don't know who that is either. I know the Rosetta Stone.
Well, that's good. Roger Stone's another absolute piece of shit. I know the Rolling Stones. But he mentored Donald Trump. Donald Trump was his lawyer. And famously represented
Donald Trump was his lawyer?
No, shit. Sorry, Roy Cohn was his lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Once the McCarthy thing went away, he developed a practice and had all sorts of immoral and unethical approaches. But his approach that he taught Donald Trump was attack, attack, attack. Never admit defeat. And what was the third rule? Attack, attack, attack. There is no truth. And never admit defeat.
There's some
and
quote about if you're going to lie, you might as well just go like the whole hog or something.
Yeah, and he does it. Yeah.
To make it believable.
And the three most prevalent characters, if you look at it, Roy Cohn, Roger Stone, and Donald Trump. And those guys have...
Politics, baby.
Politics. Tony gets political.
And distracted.
That's what we talk about. That's tangent. That had nothing to do with rugby. But we went on it. If you know Roy Cohn... put one of these emojis down in the that looks like to people.
If you're having a cone, enjoy.
If you're having a cone,
chill out.
Put a little one of those symbols down.
Relax.
Hits from the bong. Okay, so how did we get to Roy Cohn? Oh, because I was trying to get you to do your techniques for telling the leisure centre people to go fuck themselves.
Because I didn't pay. I had a cheeky swim.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah,
was it good? I think I hurt my shoulder throwing my children around because they like being a sack of potatoes.
Oh, really?
I throw them into the water. I tell them they're a rotten sack of potatoes. I
think you're a sack of potatoes.
I think I hurt myself doing that. I'm getting old.
Yeah. Well, there is a point where I think we are at that point. Our bodies hurt a lot more than they used to.
Standing up, sitting down.
Making those noises. I remember being 30 and thinking, oh, God. And now I'm 42.
Yeah, exactly.
I wake up and my feet kill me. because I got plantar fasciitis in my right foot.
You just clicked. Straightening your leg and went, bang!
Can you see that my right foot, you can't see obviously, but Mark, you look at my feet, they're quite veiny, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you reckon the right foot?
That's why I'm here.
The right foot's slightly swollen?
I was going to say it looks slightly swollen.
Yeah, it is. It's my fucking plantar fasciitis. It gives me the shits and I can't run at the moment because of it. And every morning I wake up like I've got fucking gout.
How do you deal with that?
You're meant to like massage the bottom of your feet, do all these sort of stretches, and then also do super painful massages on your calves as well. Mm. Yeah, the advice is if it hurts, it works. Okay. So, sucks.
I don't suffer from that. I went for a run today.
I haven't been for a run all year.
I went 6K. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. What was your pace?
6 minutes, something, 6:20.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Leisurely.
Leisurely.
Yeah. Nice climate, a nice temp for it.
Yeah, I went early morning. It was quite nice.
Oh, la-dee-da.
Exactly. I went 5, and I was like, I'll just do one more.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Fantastic. Did you give yourself a high five at the end?
I slapped myself on the ass. I was like, good job, son.
And held up a sign, going, I've just been for a run. Come slap me on the ass.
People looked at me. That's why the helicopter was flying around. Yeah, he's been slapping his ass in front of the children.
Helicopter flying, the police helicopter.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it is gone. Oh.
Okay. Well, wanted level has expired.
Well, I feel like we've really caught up.
Yeah. You know,
we've really had some QT. Do you feel like we've had QT?
What was that, quality time?
It is. Do you find with your missus or your wife?
Either.
That they say things like, oh, I just want to spend some time together. I want to spend some time with you. And you go, my thing is like, I see you more than I see any other human being in the entire world. What do you mean we don't spend time together? Even my daughter says that to me. She's like, let's do something. Well, we do stuff all the time. And then we'll, during school holiday, she's like, I want to play because we don't spend any time together. And I'm like, who are you spending? I don't know. Is it a female thing?
Maybe you're just a terrible husband and father because my kids and wife never say that to me. But maybe they just don't want to spend time with me.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the time spent with you, they're like, oh, this is a drag.
This is enough. Yeah, had enough exactly. of that guy.
No.
Go watch some rugby. We'll all be happier.
No. Yeah.
Oh. Good times.
Anyway.
I did watch a fair bit of rugby.
Over the weekend?
Yeah, indeed.
I watched some rugby over the weekend too, Mark.
It was a holiday on Friday here in New Zealand. Oh, that's when the Six Nations started.
And it was
perfect New Zealand time.
Yeah. But I only could watch... I had... people coming around at like 11 o'clock.
Mm. Game started at 9:10, so you're...
And I had to go to the supermarket to get a bunch of shit.
Oh, no.
So I got to watch about the first...
You can get stuff delivered.
Not in the short time frame that I was dealing.
I suppose this is not China.
Yeah, not in the heart, not in the couple
of hours. In
China,
you can't get it in 30 minutes.
Well, we ain't in China anymore.
Not yet.
Dr. Rickard. yes, so I watched about half an hour, and I was like, oh, this is...
This is getting a bit lopsided.
Yeah, this is quite a walloping. And then I managed to watch the rest of the game once the people left in the afternoon.
Oh, man.
Well, they came around. I meant to go for a paddleboard, but then they didn't even... They were meant to check about 12-ish, and then they didn't... Then it was my cousin and his family, and then he had a work meeting with some overseas people, and he wasn't able to get there till 1, and then we were meant to go paddleboarding, but we missed the tide. Then we just had a barbecue, and then I drank too much during the middle of the day. Not horrifically, but to the point where once they left at about 4 o'clock, I was like... We had a little nap after a few gins and whatnot. And then I woke up at like 6 and I was like, I feel hungover. So I was hungover. Like, it was a weird feeling. And then I just drank tea all night and watched the rugby.
There you go.
Was it nice? It
makes up for
it. Then I woke up on the Sunday feeling fine.
Okay.
So I just shifted my hangover. But anyway.
But you did watch the game.
I did watch the game. Is that what we're here to talk about?
I think so.
I loved that game.
The game was sexy as fuck.
It was such boner material.
Probably not the greatest viewing spectacle if you're Irish.
No.
But for everybody else, mwah.
Oh, so beautiful. Look, I've got the team that I kind of root for with the Six Nations is Ireland. But you could kind of see that performance coming in terms of an Irish perspective.
Mm.
Really, before we start to jack off too hard about the French... It seems not to
overreact to it, but I think it's been coming for a few years now. The glory days of that the golden age of Irish rugby has come to a bit of an end, and it's a rebuilding phase now.
There was so much negativity in the Irish press. And I was thinking to myself, come on, man. Like last year, Lions disruption, Andy's away, Caelan Doris injured for part of it, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, man, Andy's back.
Yeah.
Things like it's not that bad.
No.
Like one of the guys from, I did a quick chat with one of the guys from one of the Irish Instagram pages.
Yeah.
And like that guy was clearly like just outrage. Expectations at zero. I did it before the game.
Yeah.
Maybe they were right. I was trying to fly the flag for, nah, man, it's going to be better than you expect.
No, I think I've been saying for a while that they're on the downhill slide. And there hasn't been a dramatic bit of pushback
against that.
There hasn't been a dramatic drop, but I think that's the big drop that we've seen. I think they're probably going to get drilled by the English as well. And then they'll may have another competitive few games to go against amongst some of the other teams. That felt like an early 2000s, late 90s Irish team to me. Like one that isn't got the class to compete with the other team.
I'm not sure it's that bad yet. The first half, they couldn't catch the fucking ball.
Yeah.
They dropped so much ball. Second half is, what, 14 each?
Yeah.
Two tries each?
Yeah. I hope that it's not the case. I really do hope. And I think once that period where all the reserves came on, there was a little bit of a clunky 5 or 6 minutes, and then they had a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, they did. Scored a couple of tries. The bench made some good impact.
Yeah, but I think by that point, the game had well and truly gone.
Yeah, it's hard to judge because I'm like, on the one hand, I'm thinking, well, second half's even Stevens, but France knew they were in front by that much, and teams, whether they like it or not, tend to put the foot off the gas a wee bit.
I always find in a game where one team is absolutely walloping the other side, bringing your bench on generally doesn't have a massively positive impact when you're pumping the shit out of another team. When you're usually it just creates a bit of clunkiness and it takes
breaks
the cohesion a bit. The times that it when a bench really does make its greatest impact, it's actually generally in a tight game when you need it, some fresh legs, when it's fresh legs, fresh tactics, and that's the time where you see the greatest impacts.
Yeah.
Those times where things are about as going as they possibly could go, new players just generally muddy the waters a little bit. And I think that was the case for the French. And for the Irish, they were able to take advantage of that. And they started getting really good turnovers. You know, like they were over the ball, like jackling, like for great at that period as well. But and then you were thinking, well, fuck, and they were far more dominant in the carry.
That was a key point because in the first half, the carries were not really getting much pay, and then they just. Three phases, drop the ball, pass to nobody, into touch, turnover ball, kick and duel doesn't go in their favor. There was so much aerial contest, just couldn't.
Getting dominated in that front. And I felt like they were really passive in the tackle. They were letting the number five for the French.
Guillard.
Oh, boy, oh,
sexy
boy.
Beast.
That try
that he set up for Olivon was like fucking, if we're going to whack lyrical, there was a prop in there. There were two locks involved. Oh,
we love that because that's French, but also that kind of reminds us of great Kiwi rugby. Like, we think all the footy players, no matter what numbers on your back, should be able to catch, pass, and run. You know, and they were showing that. That was all of their tries. I can't think of a stinker amongst them. Really, BLBL Ray is an absolute sensation.
He's a freak.
He's the best winger in the world. Who's better than him?
It's pretty good.
Jelly Bear performance was better than any performance I saw from Intermac last year. He was outstanding. That some of his dink kicks ahead were absolutely brilliant. I know one that that dink ahead and he kind of half got it.
Fluffed it, went backwards, and then that sets up the Ford's try.
Yeah. That was fantastic. And then the other one with the dink through, then Ramos does the
volley.
The volley.
Oh.
Jeez Louise, I'm going for a 6 to midnight just thinking about it. It was so beautiful. Like, that is... absolute fucking champagne rugby.
Yeah.
Really, really was. And like scary. Like if that team can turn up week after week, they are going to be a force to reckon.
Weirdly, they've been kind of slow starters in the Six Nations in the last few years, but they came out.
No signs of rust from there.
Firing.
They were absolutely fantastic. Really like the look of their midfield as well. Was it Deporte or whatever?
Deporte in the 13 jersey was immaculate.
He was able to create, you know, a little bit like. Obviously a big, powerful, strong athlete, but it kind of in a weird way reminded me a little bit of Conrad Smith and the fact that was often able just to slip off a tackle and create space for the players around him to make a real attacking opportunity out of not much.
That's
at all.
The quintessential what you want from a 13,
yeah,
right?
In the
traffic, but still able to set up the space for the guys around him.
Makes a break, draws a player, gets it to the open player,
mm-hmm.
and then you got the likes of Adesogbe and BLBRA just to absolutely take advantage.
Yeah.
It's good to see Adesogbe again. Like, he came.
Yeah, he would play like Penno's not even in the team.
Adesogbe came to New Zealand last year, and we were like, "Who's this guy?"
He got the odd game when Penno was injured before. He was like the stand-in guy.
Yeah, right.
For Penno, and he came to New Zealand, and he's.
He looked quality when he came to New Zealand. I remember thinking, "Fuck, if this guy's the second guy."
Whoa. Yeah, imagine. Yeah, exactly. So very, very freaking dangerous team.
Yeah, and just we're not talking about a fucking scrum battle. Oh, love it. I absolutely love that. There was a lot of aerial ball, and they dominated that the aerial battle. But the Irish, man, what are you going to do with them? Do you think they've got a pathway back here?
I still honestly think, and maybe I'm just a stupid optimist.
You're a beaten wife.
They dropped that much ball in the first half, in particular. They can't be that bad again.
Yeah.
Surely. When you mention England, like England kicked fucking 40 times against Wales, which is a shitload. Yeah. So, and that game wasn't even that wet. Like the other two games were quite wet in the conditions.
Italy game was just
torrential.
A bath.
If Ireland can't catch kicks, it's going to be a long day at the office against England for sure. But 100%. I can't see them being that bad again.
Yeah. You reckon that's just
because they definitely improved that in the second half.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thought that, as we said, the reserves were a big part of that. Maybe the French were already up 30 points or whatever by that stage as well, and they were like, "Well, we got it." Although there was a moment where you go, "Shit! Well, they've scored two and three
minutes." It was a 15-point deficit. They got it down to 15. I think they'd been down like 29-0. And it was 15 points. You're like,
20 to go if you get one, but then they never really looked like.
They had that. There was one phase of play when they'd scored the first two where they were on the front foot. And I forget what happened. Something happened which totally killed their momentum.
Yeah.
And then they were just.
Probably a line out that they weren't able. I thought the line outs all round were pretty shoddy from a lot of the teams.
Scotland's was awful, but we'll get to them in a minute.
Yeah.
But Wales was not good.
Wales managed to make. Every fucking it was almost like they had a bingo board for every
fuck up you want,
every error you can possibly make in a game of rugby, and they made it. Yeah,
you think DuPont was lucky to not get a yellow when the deliberate lock on? I think that was lucky.
Well, unless they're changing it, I'd love to see it change to being that's the standard.
Yes, because they were just like the guy said, there's defenders back there, so it's just a penalty. Not a yellow card. I thought it was like, if it's a deliberate cynical knock-on, it's a yellow card, and then it's a potential penalty try if there's no defenders back there.
Yeah, I thought that was it as well. Like, that was just, basically, they say, oh, it's not a penalty try because there was someone who could have gone there. It's almost like they got their wires crossed a little bit there. But, if that's the standard, if they've had a meeting over the Christmas break.
Because I hate deliberate knock-ons being officiated the way they are.
I feel like, you're going for an intercept. You know, you're deliberately trying.
You see tries scored from those all the time.
Yeah, you're trying to catch the ball. Mm. You're not deliberately trying to knock it on.
Mm.
You know.
Very rarely do you see someone actually go, nah.
The one time you saw it was a player called Eben Etzebeth in the quarterfinal of the Rugby World Cup.
You hate South Africa, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Which apparently went backwards. The French would be pissed off about that one. Anything else to say about the French and the Irish?
France are looking pretty good.
One of the things, that, not to bring it back to an All Black point of view.
Bring it back to the All Blacks, Tony. Get New Zealand involved in the Six Nations conversation.
Well, let's do it. I was thinking about it, and if you were a French fan, you walk away from the park going, fuck. Oh, the boys play well. They played, you know your team played outstanding. Yes. They really came to the park. Yes. They were clinical. Mm-hmm. They showed all the facets of the skill, and at times it was, you know, may not have been a 100%, 80% 80-minute performance, but you walk off going, yeah.
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah. It was really good. They played really, really good. As an All Black fan, we have never been able to say that for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've won games, and you're like, oh, that was scratchy. Mm. But every game was scratchy. We never walked away going, oh, we were just on one today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we've been searching for that feeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's usually not hard to find with an All Black team.
No. Like, even Fozzie's team, like, shit game, nice game.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
they've still got it in the bag somewhere. 100%. If they can find it.
Pump the Irish Eden Park, you know, like, go to Alice Park and play really, really well to win against a fight up Bok team.
Yeah.
Beat the Irish in France again at the quarterfinals. Feel for the Irish there, because that was their peak. That was their team that needed to actually go on and could have actually had, if any team had any chance of winning a title, if not doing some real damage, and yet they still came short and had
is
to go out
at a good quarterfinal. Looking forward to next year's World Cup.
Next year's, Jesus.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? That Ireland are having these issues now. Because Andy Farrell has got this year and next year's campaign to get things right. Because I think we've seen in the last couple of World Cup campaigns, Ireland in a year before a World Cup have looked fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And then come World Cup time, everyone's caught them up a little bit.
I think he needs to, if the one criticism you could have of Farrell, like, despite having a pretty damn good record with the Irish and done some really tremendous things, you know, winning a series in New Zealand, winning multiple Six Nations, all sorts of things. They've got the number one seed in the world a couple of times.
Yep.
The big criticism you can have of him is he's been too conservative and hasn't actually developed the depth of the new players to come through.
Yep.
And maybe that's going to bite him. But if they're going to have any hope of going forward, he has to be a little more bold in his selections, I think. Or at least, you know, develop that core squad to be able to do damage, but give at least decent time to have to develop depth in multiple positions, because we know that, you know, it's a relatively long tournament and at the World Cup, and you need at least two, if not three, high quality players in each position. And it's often been like, well, if you know that player goes down, then we've got an okay replacement. After that, we're fucked.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he develops a player depth whilst trying to really get a real, real sharp first 15 going forward.
Yeah,
first
23. Look at France at the moment. They got no Intermax. They're bringing Shelly Bear. You're like,
Shelly Bear looked
both
great.
Both fucking good. Whereas Ireland, you're like, do you play Prendergast?
Yeah.
Do you play Crowley? Do you play Harry Byrne?
Shelly Bear reminded me a little bit of Stephen Donald, the way he runs. Like, just like, I'll fucking show you. Like, just like a little bit of intent, but just like a little bit agricultural in his cadence. But
a bit of Waiuku in him.
Yeah, a little bit of Waiuku in him. It was good. I enjoyed that game.
Prendergast?
Had some okay touches, had some bad moments. Couldn't really...
I really want to go back and look at his... I want to just watch the game again, which is not something I usually do. I just want to watch like the whole game.
And watch what he does.
And just watch him. Because I know he made 13 tackles, which is right up there for all the tacklers in that game. But I know that he missed... He missed seven. It's not just him that made, like, a bunch of the Irish guys. Gibson Park got rolled, bumped off a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it's not just him. But I would like to see... Like, are those tackles that he's just like, is like some? I think one of them is him going for like an ankle tap on Beale Bearay.
Yeah, it's
like, if that's a missed tackle, you know, a lot of people get gassed by Beale Bearay, but is it just like him getting smoked?
That first, was it the first or the second try where Beale Bearay like had that little stutter step and then still
around the outside? That was the first one.
Around the outside of three players. And you thought,
I think it was Gibson Park, Prendergast, and then the cover defender. Was it Osborne? Someone coming across just couldn't catch him.
Osborne was. in position. I don't know how he didn't manage to, like, yeah. There was some bad defense in that game.
Yeah.
But the French were just absolute dynamite. So enjoyable to watch. Just high quality rugby tries.
There you go, France.
Really love
Tony's
it. Love those sort of tries.
Seal of approval.
That's gold.
Second game was Italy against Scotland.
Now, this game got ruined for me.
I watched it at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I watched it live.
I woke
this up. This one rewarded me for a live watch.
Yeah. I woke up on Sunday morning, and I thought, I'm going to watch some rugby. And then I just turned on my Sky Go app, and then I saw a replay. And the first thing I saw was Wales, England. I was like, that was one of the games that was on last night.
Yes.
And then I turned it on, and the first opening screen they had was
the scores from the other two games.
Scores from the other two games.
Don't
England, Ireland, France, and you. And then I was like, and I saw England, Scotland, Italy. And I went, oh, fuck. My first reaction was like, oh, they bloody got up and won. And then my other reaction was like, oh, fuck. That just ruined the game for me.
It takes all the sting out of that final, like, 30 phases the Scots had.
So, well, for this game, to be honest with you, I watched the extended highlights yesterday. And then today I thought, oh, God, I got to talk about it, so I better watch it. But I watched 37 minutes of the first half. It was very weird.
First half was where more the action was. Like, three of the four tries come in that first 20-odd minutes.
Yeah.
Were before it fucking, the heavens open.
God, jeez, it was, they went to one cam when it was one of the ones on the ref, or in the lapel, wherever it is, and it was just torrential. Yeah.
You could hear from the mic, from these big puddles.
It was an absolute,
that's among the worst, like the heaviest rain I've ever seen.
That was nuts.
Yes.
It's amazing the quality of these pitches that they don't turn into just massive mud balls.
Yeah.
You remember when we were kids, when it was a wet pitch, the guys would just come off head to toe in mud. Exactly. It would get so bad you couldn't even tell what players were on which teams because you couldn't see their jerseys anymore. The
mud. But interestingly, Gonzalo Quesada, the coach, he insinuated the fact that, man, like, we were doing really well before it started raining. We were looking even more dangerous.
That chip through from Bricks leading to the line of try. That was really, it was great vision, but I've got to ask, where the fuck was the fullback? Like, where's the cover there? I think
So much space.
I think I watched a replay, and Finn moved to the fullback position for that. And he's just in the middle of the field, just fucking picking daisies.
Mm.
It's like complete lack of awareness of what was going on.
It was a bit
of
a rejigged back three, because usually...
But that's just, how many years?
I know, yeah. How many years have we seen it? It's
you do that Duhan, schoolboy level.
It's Kinghorn,
yeah,
and it's Darcy Graham. That's the three guys. It's always those three guys. And none of the three played on the starting 15. Darcy was on the bench.
Yeah, that was... fucking stupid.
Yeah, that seemed way too easy.
That's real schoolboy shit. Like, just a guy just going, oh, fuck, I'm meant to be over there. Like, you follow the ball when you're at the back. Yeah, that was really weird. That would have been absolute, like, executed really nicely, and it got the crowd into it, and here we go, boys.
But, I mean, those guys are that level that if you give them any space, they're going to exploit it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And they got a second one not too long later from Menichel. That was a high ball.
Liner came up and got up and took a great high ball to actually bring that down. He got the plaudits for that, really.
Liner called the high ball.
Another sexy try. A lot of sexy tries this week.
Mm-hmm. Sexy Six Nations.
So that's rugby's sexiest championship. that was a nice looking try. And then we thought, okay, well... Scotland, so they should probably dig back into this somehow.
It looked like they might.
But still clunky.
But their line out
was so shit. Terrible.
Like, I think even between the two Italian tries, they had an attacking chance down the other end and just fluffed their line out.
Mm.
So many. You can't do that at this level.
No.
It's just free possession for the other team.
Yeah. It is.
I don't know. Unbelievable. I mean, you've got to give credit to the Italians for disrupting it, but Jesus, it was bad.
Are we looking at, like, first run out for a lot of these teams? And there seemed to be a lot of silly unforced errors across all three games, really. Is it just the rust factor we're looking at a little bit? Guys with new communications, not being as cohesive with, you know, what they're meant to be doing in the year, or you know, you're playing international rugby in the Six Nations, rugby's greatest championship.
You could kind of forgive the Scots a bit more if, because the conditions were shit and it's the first game of the season, you'd be like, yeah, okay, it makes sense. But the Italian lineup was almost flawless. I think they had one go awry. So, Italians got it right.
Yeah, why didn't you?
Yeah. Or at least, like, it wasn't even bad. It was fucking awful.
Mm. The hook, yeah.
Both of their hookers got themselves, like, Ashman couldn't find his jumpers, and then I think he gave away a dumb penalty, and then Turner came on and got himself yellow carded.
The Italian hooker got stepped by...
Yes, that's true, by Dempsey for that try. Yeah.
Dempsey looks good.
Yeah, he looked genuinely good. He was the top run meter guy for the Scots in that game, which is not ideal.
He looks like he's got something about him, eh?
Mm.
Was he a Lion last year?
No. I played for the Wallabies before that.
Oh, really? I like the look of him in a big way. That little last late footwork that he put on to get to the line, like the Scots needed something there.
They were just
battering
up. He's genuinely good for that. He's good for a good gain line carry. So he did really well in that situation.
Yeah, gave it the double guns on the ground.
He's one of the few bright sparks of that Scottish performance. Yeah,
had my favourite commentator in the game.
That guy. The old boy. I don't know his name.
Yeah. He's brilliant.
He's got some interesting one-liners.
He does. I can't remember any of... there were a couple of interesting ones. I can't remember any of them off the top of my head.
Mm.
But, yeah, he's great. And then, who was the other guy? Was it... his sideline guy got preoccupied when Dempsey went over and did his double guns. He said, he's done the thumbs up. Oh, no, actually, he's done the guns. And then he's done the fingers. And then he realized he'd been talking about it for like 15 seconds. Hey, it doesn't really matter. and then they went to another replay from another angle. And then he saw it again. He said, oh, yep, confirmation. It was the fingers, the guns.
The pistols or whatever.
The pistols, Came back.
That's very important to get those details right.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you who can't see, 100%.
Have you ever watched Sumo?
Where's your thing?
Oh yeah.
Come on, man.
Jeez, terrible.
Yeah. It's Takahashi, isn't it?
That's what's his name?
Your talent.
It's Wakatakage.
Wakatakage.
Yeah. But in sumo, every way you can win has a name.
Oh.
So like whether you, it's like ones, like the most common one is frontal force out, like you push them out.
Oh yeah.
But there's like, you can flip them, you can trip them, you can, there's every, literally, if there's no, you can't just come up with a new way to win. Every way
it's
to
been
win
done before.
Has a name. So I guess.
Why do you pull someone out by the hair?
I don't think you're allowed to do that. You're not allowed to grab them by the hair.
By the neck?
I don't know. But. Maybe that's what the guy's like. I got to get this right. That's the pistols. It's not the thumbs up. I got to get this right.
He's got the pistols there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Pistol Pete went over. His name's not Pete. But tell me about the second half, because I know that...
It was raining. Very, very heavily.
I know that the Scots scored.
At one point, the Scots... Like, they went for a penalty. Because you notice for the first try, they were like, no, we're not going for penalties. They went for a couple of 5-meter taps. The Italians gave away a few penalties.
Yeah.
Like, in the second half, I think they were just like, we're too far to tap it, and we can't win our line out, so we fucking just have to take a penalty.
Yeah, right.
So I felt like that...
It's dire straits for a line out if you're in those sort of situations.
Yeah. They were just kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. So they had to take the penalty, but then Italy got a penalty back, so it kind of chalked it off. They did get a bit of impact from their subs. George Horn and a few other guys came on. George Horn, the replacement halfback, was visibly trying to rev the guys up. Like, for fuck's sake, guys,
let's
come
go,
on.
Let's go.
And he got the try from the maul where they kind of peeled off.
Oh, that's right. Was that the 15-man?
Yeah, 14-man maul. Yeah.
And then he pulled off and just, like, pinned his ears back.
So he got that one. And then, did you see the final set of phases? Because they were on their own goal
which
line.
Which was actually huge discipline from the Italians not to give away a penalty in that situation.
That's right. Well, Finn had missed the conversion for the second try, so the Scots needed a try.
Yeah.
But they were on their own goal line with like 79 minutes. They got a penalty. They kicked it out. They won the line out. The Italians didn't contest it. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? It's the one line that you should be contesting, but they didn't contest it. Line out wasn't even straight. If they had contested it, it would have been game over.
Mm.
It was on like halfway, just contest. What are you, it's not like 5 meters out with a maul? Fuck's sake. Anyway, but the Scots went through like 25 something phases, which was a miracle because it was so wet and they've been dropping so much pill.
And then held up.
and they got held up in the tackle.
Bloke went in too high. Replacement.
Isolated carrier, the big lock, Max Williamson. So
yeah, he'll be feeling shit about it.
Yeah, he probably will be. But the Italians did really well. Italians won it. It wasn't like one of those ones where they got a bit lucky or anything like that. The Italians, they won the game.
Italy, you've got to give them credit. Like, what are we looking at? So, end of last year, they beat Australia.
Yeah.
Which is a really good victory to get.
Mm.
And now they've beaten Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that their last two victories? Like, who else did they play at the end of last year?
Did they play the Box again? I remember they went down to South Africa. I feel like they did.
So they in November?
They beat... Yeah, they beat one of the smaller teams as well, I think.
So they're on a bit of a run.
They're a good team.
Yeah. Are we looking... Is there a world where the Italians finish better than fourth? Well, finish better than fifth, I'll say, firstly.
Oh, I think they've shown they can finish better than the Scots, for sure.
Hmm.
But whether they can catch the other guys...
Well, they just have to finish... If they finish better than... Can they finish fourth? Can
if they beat Wales, which they will be favoured to do now, that'll put them... Unless Scotland beats someone big, that'll put them above...
If they get Scotland get their shit together for the Calcutta Cup.
Yeah. Then, you know, Italy's comfortably looking at fourth.
Yeah.
But then there's the big three, you know, Ireland, England, France, who are the ones. But, I mean, they got Ireland next. Ireland just got pumped, so...
Yeah, Ireland might be a little bit ripe for the taking.
They asked, like, the captain, Michele Lamaro, after the game, talking about it. He said something like he can continue to dream. And she's like, oh, what's your dream? And he's like, I'm just going to keep it to myself
for now. Damn
Six Nations. What his dream is about, you know, how they could go in the Six Nations. But he's thinking it. He's not putting it on paper yet, but he's thinking it.
Yeah. Good on him. And, like, what a... What's the best finish the Italians have ever had?
I don't even know. It must be fourth.
Yeah.
Surely.
Never got a third.
Don't think so.
Never got a bronze.
Someone will correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct Mark if he's wrong.
Do it.
Would you?
I genuinely think Quesada, the coach, because remember, he was the guy who coached the Jaguares back in the days when they made the Super Rugby final against the Crusaders. Yeah,
he's a sharp
operator.
He's
one of those coaches that you go, he takes a team, brings them to that next level.
Maybe we should get him for the All Blacks.
I think he's with Italy at the moment. So
big opportunity, Quesada.
But that's the thing about Townsend. They're saying he's got the team and they're playing at their level, but they need a coach who's going to take them.
Is that Tandy, you mean?
No, it's Gregor Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
Tandy's the Welsh coach.
That's right.
He was in Scotland before.
Townsend has been there for how long now?
Like, fucking 2017?
So a fair while.
2016? Yeah, fuck, he's been there ages.
Right, so after the 2015 World Cup.
After Vern Cotter. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, and are they on a trajectory towards...
They were looking decent for a while. He had them up in the top 5 or 6 in the world way, way ago, and then they've just been... In the last 12 months, they've slipped big time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll see how they go for the rest of the tournament. Maybe they're playing the old rope-a-dope, and they're going to come out and fool everybody.
If they were going to do anything with Six Nations, they needed to win that game.
They did, didn't they? They did. Nobody's ever won the Six Nations.
If they beat the Italians and they beat Wales...
Yeah.
Let's say they beat England. Let's just say, because they got a good... Their recent record against England's not bad. Then if they just had beaten either France or Ireland, just pick that one game up. That's like you think, fuck, you're in with a chance. If everyone else drops a game, you're in with a chance. Yeah. But you've just taken that chance and fucked it at the first possible opportunity. Everything else is fucked. Now you've got to win two of those big games, which I don't think is happening.
I'm going to say a completely unfounded fact.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm going to say it like it is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And you can
correct... Do your Trump.
Okay. I think, I won't say it like Trump, but nobody has ever won the Six Nations.
And lost to Italy?
And lost to Italy.
Sounds like it should be true.
Yeah. Can you prove me wrong? I don't know. Maybe that's not true. But I can't imagine.
It seems like it should be a fact. It's one of those things
exactly.
That should be a fact. Sure,
but I don't have the stats to prove it in front of me.
Let us know.
Let us know. Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Because it sounds true.
One team who's never lost to Italy is England.
They never lost to Italy?
Never lost to Italy.
Wow.
They played Wales, who are ranked below Italy.
Who have lost to Italy.
Yeah. And they pumped them.
Oh, you know what? I don't actually think I've seen a team make more mistakes than the Welsh played. And I feel like I don't know if we know anything more about either of those teams from that game.
You know the one that did it for me?
What? Which one?
The Dewey Lake tap 5 meters out where he didn't touch the ball.
For fuck's yeah, exactly.
Sake. Oh my god. Like, as much as you guys fucked that game up, that one was just the worst.
Tap the ball forward. My daughter could do that.
Yeah.
Could have used her boot.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's international rugby player.
That was just shocking. And at a crucial moment. Like, look, they had penalties to actually get them down their end, but there were so many times.
After they conceded their first try, they immediately went down England's end. They had an attacking maul and they got pinged for like a soft obstruction. Just like, get out of jail free. Just so many of those kind of things.
I think one of the worst tries, one of Arundel's three, was...
Oh, the pass to nobody.
Which came from, they got a penalty.
Free kick at scrum.
The Welsh got a penalty.
Yeah, free kick. They got a free kick at scrum. Yeah. It's good. Quick tap. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, yeah.
Get them before their defensive line sets. Ben Thomas tries to find Reece Zammit. Nobody's home.
Nobody's home. Oh, it was really painful to watch.
Mm.
Surely... To defend Wales here, they can't fuck up that much.
That's what I was saying with Ireland. They can't drop that much more ball. Wales, you can't do that again.
You can't make that many dumb.
You've got them all out the way.
You've got your quota out for the whole tournament there.
Yeah. Four yellow cards.
Yeah.
Twice they're playing with 13 guys. They want to play the league.
It's almost like the same consecutive phases of play in the first half there for a bit. I don't even think we learned that much about England because they were just good enough to take advantage.
That game just barring some just egregious mistakes, that went basically how I expected.
Yeah. Well, I didn't expect, is that too generous of me? I didn't expect Wales to play that badly, like to fuck up that much. Yeah. Like new coach, new year, full campaign to launch into it, zero excuses, available squad other than Morgan. That you think, okay, they're going to put something on the line here, playing the old foe in Twickers. All you want as a Welsh fan right now, I'm sure they don't even expect them to win, but put a good fight up.
Show some fight.
And maybe the fight would have been okay, but it was just so fucking dumb. Just making every possible mistake, not clearing out
the unforced errors are the ones that really get all
the bad line outs,
charge down.
I thought Reece Zammit, other than he had that first charge down against him, but other than that he was maybe one of the only bright sparks. Ran with a bit of intent at times, broke a few tackles, but by god, there was some ugly shit. Some really ugly shit.
England looked pretty sharp.
They looked I don't think they were. They got to play at about a 6 out of 10 and get that result.
They left a shitload of points out there.
Didn't have to show too many moves or anything like that. They got to keep their cards close to their chest.
Yeah,
I've heard other folks criticizing them, saying they weren't ruthless enough.
Well, they did blow a lot of tries.
Yeah, the game was gone.
They had a pass into touch. Yeah. They had a try disallowed for something in the bill. Was it a neck roll? So they left some points out there.
Yeah. But, it was almost felt like a bit of a training run.
Yeah, it's a good warm-up for England to get those mistakes out of the way in a week where they can 6 out of 10 into a 48-7 win.
I felt sorry for Maro Itoje when he came on.
Came on, immediately yellow card.
30 seconds later, team yellow.
Yeah, I like that one because it was like the ref goes over, you could give away a lot of penalties, and Jamie George is like, all right, which player was it? Can I have the number? He's doing the right proper captain thing. He's like, can I have a second to go speak to the players before they go? Can I have a play there? So he goes over and has it, right, guys. Immediately, despite all of the show, despite all of that, immediately just get a yellow card.
Well, Murray wasn't in there for the chat. Maybe if he was in there for the chat, we would have got it.
We're not supposed to give away penalties. Shit. Damn. Oh,
that
was hilarious.
It was quite funny.
Yeah.
But it was a poor game of rugby. Like, it was interesting. Like, I felt like the France-Ireland game, similar sort of scoreline, maybe not quite as bad, was far more entertaining. Like, the creativity, the style of try,
England still scored some nice ones.
They scored nice clinical tries, pass to the man in space, take advantage of mistakes.
Beat a few one-on-one tackles.
Yeah.
Epienne bumped off a tackler, and Tommy Freeman bumped off some tacklers for their tries. They got a penalty try with the Pollock getting clotheslined into the...
Maybe it just felt a bit sadder because, like, with the Irish, you kind of felt... Ireland's France, it was, like, two heavyweight boxes.
It didn't feel like a mismatch.
Yeah, two heavyweight boxes. Yeah. One of them knocks the other one out, and you're like, whoa!
That's a big result.
Whereas you've got a total mismatch, different weight class with
The reigning
England.
Champion up against his, like, his debut.
There's some water boy.
Yeah.
And then they were just pounding, like, stop it! He's dead already! Yeah. You know, it was... And sad times for Wales, man. Fuck yes. Wales. Come on, do something, man. Do something. Just don't give away all those dumb penalties. Like, frustrating.
Penalty count was horrendous. 10 by half time.
What does that game look like if they don't give away all those dumb penalties and they minimize some of those? You know, you're going to make mistakes in a game of rugby, but you can't make a fucking mistake every time you get the ball.
Yeah.
You've got to execute something. And they... It was just, it was fucking faulty towers. They were the faulty towers of an international rugby team. You know, a great rugby nation is just completely brought to their knees at the moment.
At the moment, it's not looking very good.
It ain't looking good. Anyway, and I feel like we didn't actually really, you learn more about teams when they're against quality opposition. And we didn't learn that much about England.
Next week, you will see Ireland take on Italy. That's got some spice about it because of the round one fixtures.
Well, if what's the captain's name again?
Michele Lamaro.
Can he keep the dream alive?
That'd be a massive one.
Wow. When's that? What time's that?
That's Sunday, like 3 something in the morning.
I will not be arising.
Then Scotland taking on England. Calcutta Cup from Murrayfield.
Oh, yeah.
Scotland got the pressure on.
Yeah, they got a win. That's a nice one.
That's the game after that one, so it's 5 something in the
morning.
This is
a weak round, though, isn't it, really?
And then, Wales-France.
Wales-France.
Wales hosting France. It's Monday morning our time.
I am worried for them. So when they played...
South Africa last year.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah.
Unless the French go completely bipolar and just put an absolute dunger in the Welsh get up. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
That could be 60 points.
Do it, Wales.
Come on, Wales.
Get up for it.
Come around beef.
There are other games on at the weekend as well.
Oh, are there?
Super Rugby!
Oh, Super Rugby back. I'm really looking forward to it.
The hype train. Has it arrived? Is it at the station?
Yeah, I'm feeling... I was watching a few previews of different things and I was thinking, I've had my breakfast, my fasting of rugby. Yeah. Now I could get into watching some rugby at normal times of the day.
You know what I saw over the weekend?
Your mama's ass. Sorry, Dawn.
A bunch of people wearing Blues gear.
Hey.
Like, usually it's fucking Warriors gear everywhere.
Yeah.
But I saw Blues gear. But today I went to the supermarket, Pack and Save. There's a guy with a Blues singlet on. I was
Look at you.
Blues gear. Super Rugby's on the way.
Did you go, I don't know if you know, but I've got a big deal. My house smells of rich mahogany. I have many leather-bound books. You do that, John?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Oh, fantastic.
And he said, I've already called the police. There's a helicopter on the way.
It's like, and you need to put your penis away soon.
Your micro penis. Please put it away. Yeah, it makes me comfortable. Super Rugby, yeah.
Super Rugby's on the horizon. It's interesting. There was a Blues, I've got a new CEO.
Yes, the guy who used to run the ASB Open, the tennis.
Yeah, and that guy changed that tournament from it. They used to get 16,000 people along to that tournament. Article. And now by the time he left, he was getting like 120,000.
Yeah, it became a massive deal. He was getting really big names from a New Zealand context. Yeah. Like, he was getting the Williams sisters. Yeah,
because they came a number of times and all sorts of stuff. Like, people would use it as a little warm-up for...
Because it's always before the Aussie Open. Yeah. So we're competing with a bunch of other tournaments around the world.
Yeah.
And he made it a bigger deal than it used to be. He took it from shitty level to kind of half decent.
And yeah, he's interesting because he was like, look at the ratings. Like the ratings are good on rugby, but we're just not bringing people to the stadium. So obviously the fan experience hasn't been great. So what can we do to actually make
the fan experience is a bit shit.
Yeah. So his whole focus is around how do we make it a more engaging event for fans. So that should be interesting to see what he does.
Like if you want to go to Eden Park and watch the rugby, it's good. Yep. But for a lot of people these days, that's not enough to get them to not just watch it on TV.
Get the kids to come along and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You think about, and Aucklanders do go to stuff. The Warriors generally
sell out most games. Auckland FC have had a number of sellouts in the football.
Yeah.
So it's not just the city is apathetic for sports.
Yeah.
But people need to have a reason to want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The A-League, they often play, the football's often played during the day, daytime games.
Because nobody from Europe's watching.
Yes, nobody wakes up to watch
the Auckland FC take on
the Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah, there you go.
No, this is, I don't think any of our European views would.
That's Australian football, as in
it's entertaining.
Soccer football, not like Aussie
watch
rules.
I'll watch it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Watching some sport. At times where we usually watch sport.
Yeah.
It should be good.
We can do some live streams.
Ba-boom. Friday. And look, I think the actual clashes for the first week.
They've set them up really well.
Pretty sexy
clashes.
They've
got some proper, like rivalry battles.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the first, like, Highlanders Crusaders.
Yeah, Battle of the South.
They've got Blues Chiefs.
Battle of State Highway 1.
Bombay Hills.
Yeah.
They got the two Pacific teams. Drew taking on Wana Pacifica in the first game.
Battle of the Islands.
Exactly. Waratahs Reds. That's fucking Origin. State of Origin. And then Force Brumbies.
Them.
The Hurricanes are just over there.
The Hurricanes we don't actually need.
You guys got nilled in your preseason game, so you sit over there and sort your shit out for a week.
Yeah, take a moment. Take a breather. But no, that should be good. It should be. It's a good start. See, it'll be interesting because Chiefs are a hard battle. So just see where we're at. Bad news. Fabian Holland has dislocated his shoulder in a preseason match.
That sucks.
Best case scenario, they don't know exactly how bad it is. He's out for 3 to 4 weeks. Best case scenario.
Fingers crossed.
Worst case scenario, his career is over, and fuck it, we lost it. We've had bad luck with our rookies of the year.
Satiti was out. Meniscus.
It was out
after his junior player of the year thing.
He was out for ages.
He hasn't recaptured the same dynamism.
Well, maybe it'll be this year. Maybe it was.
He had his moments last year, but just wasn't able to recapture the rookie form.
Yeah. Second year syndrome.
They do have some law changes.
Law changes to speed up the game, make it less boring. Get rid of the scrums, I say.
There's something about Super Rugby which rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
It's fan centric and we like running rugby.
Yeah, so some people just look at it and go, no!
No, I like reset scrums. I don't like free kicks.
Like that, there was a bunch
I don't
of,
love my TMO involvement.
There was a bunch of headlines which I don't feel like I think they were a bit clickbaity because they were like, oh, Super Rugby's getting rid of fucking scrums. And I was like, okay, let's have a read of these rule changes. So one of them is the referee does not have to give a yellow card if a team concedes a penalty try.
I like that. Because sometimes when a forward pack is getting absolutely folded and they just...
And they've already got fucking 13 men on the field. You don't need to take them down to 12.
Yeah. That's just silly. It's not... You wouldn't take off a midfielder because he missed a tackle.
Yes.
And if a prop... Like, just folds because he can't handle the pressure because he's not.
And they score a try anyway, a penalty try, a punishment is enough.
Yeah, no need to yellow card.
So I don't mind that one.
I think it's sensible.
I think that's fine. I think the one that's getting people...
Wound up,
that's the right word, is if there's an accidental offside or if there are delays at the ruck, which would ordinarily result in a scrum, they are now going to be just free kicks. Not scrums.
Love
it. So you can just
tap and run, boys.
Get going.
Get on.
How many accidental offsides or like ruck delays cause free kicks in a game?
Well, one of the things.
Not many.
I don't know if that's the other one that you're looking at, but they're getting rid of the human centipede.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so that kind of leads to that. From it gets that it comes from that. That when might they go, be, when he says
that, that's because they've said the use it call after the ref calls use it, the team in possession is no longer able to add more players.
Yeah, so that's when they would add the human centipede. So
they get more distance between the box, the
halfback, the scrum half has to actually use it.
The caterpillar rucks suck shit.
They really suck shit. They slow the game down. They put more and more box kicking, and there's enough box kicking already.
I don't think that's a negative change.
I think it's a fucking.
There's not many accidental offsides or like teams getting free kicked for using it too slowly in a game.
If there's a knock on, there's still going to be a scrum.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's still going to be scrums in the game. One that I think might be interesting in terms of creative coaching is you're allowed to pass it back for a 50-22.
Yeah, that could create some wholly different tactics.
Like that one I think is going to be the most likely one to affect our international game. Because there's a little bit of concern that, you know, if we're playing these rules for Super Rugby, then we go into Test Rugby and it's a different set of rules, laws.
Yeah. Or if we're putting less emphasis on the scrum, that when it gets to scrum.
Yeah, maybe. Like wingers are going to have to stay back more often if teams can pass it back into their half to get.
They have to be more mindful of that.
Yes, the positioning is going to become more ultra important.
I think one of the things was they were like, "Have you done this with a, you know, being mindful of the international game?" And they're like, "Well, the international game's aware of what we're doing, but what we've done is because we've been reactive to our fan feedback." You know, so.
And the other one was if a player is within like a meter of the ruck, where a quick tap can be taken from, they're allowed to. They don't have to take it from the actual fucking literal spot. Oh, there's going to be a little bit more leeway with that.
No pedantic shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, those suck when a guy takes a quick tap. He's like,
hold on.
You were 2 centimeters off.
You were 100 mil off.
I don't think there's anything there that's that egregious that warranted all the rock and
we're trying to speed up the game. Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the TMO one? Like,
there is a TMO one. The TMO is only going to be able to come in unprompted if it's serious foul play, which has been overlooked by the ref. We're talking yellow card or above. So no TMO coming in and go, well, you got to get a penalty for that.
Yeah, no.
5 minutes to look at it and it's a penalty. So it's got to be a yellow card or more, or if there's a clear and obvious infringement in the lead up to a try.
Yeah, look, try, I would even go further with the try one. I'm a big guy for like touch lines and put downs. That's all I want to know for a try. Like anything else in the lead up, forward passes.
If it's missed, let it go.
What it was, yeah.
Mm. So a bit less TMO and...
But I'm happy with that.
I don't think there's anything that egregious there.
I think it's pretty good.
Like, I'm also on the camp of, like, don't fuck with it too much because you need to let things be for a while, but I don't think you should just be like, no, it's perfect as it is and there's no fucking changes.
Very profound of you. Yeah. That could be your epitaph.
I'm sitting on the fence, right up my ass.
That could be your epitaph. Here lies Mark Morgan.
Right up his ass.
Here lies Mark Morgan. I'm sitting on the fence, right up my ass. Don't fuck with it too long, because if you do, you'll get fucked.
Yeah. I don't mind those. I don't think there's anything there which is like, well, that's dumb.
No, I'm pretty okay. Seemed like pretty good.
Give it a try. Like, I was all for the captain's challenge thing, and then I don't like the way it panned out.
Yeah, right.
Well, they had it when the COVID was happening.
Yeah.
And I fucking hated the way that guys would just save it up their sleeve and use it right at the end, and it wasted everybody's time. It was as bad as TMO over-involvements for me. I would rather just fuck it off. I don't like it. I know other sports can use it well. Yeah. I don't like the way it ended up being used.
Yeah. A review, basically. Yeah.
But before that, I was like, yeah, fuck, of course they should have
that. Get rid of the howler.
Yeah, get rid of the howler. Players should have the ability to call out fucking howlers, but...
Yeah.
There was that few howlers that were getting overturned, and 90% of them were just wasting time.
Yeah. So, it seems to be, it didn't really take on. It works a little bit more in league, although you still see it. Like, usually they have used it at some stage. They often get used. There's like rules like you can't let props and wingers use them because they fuck it up all the time.
I know they use it in cricket all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you get 3 reviews.
Yeah, exactly. And cricket does it fairly well because I see them get overturned all the time.
Yeah, and it kind of fits with the flow of the game a little bit more.
Yeah, but I just think it fucked it up in Union. So, I don't mind them trying it. If it fucks it up and we don't like the result, we can fuck it off.
We can fuck it off.
But if it makes things better...
It makes things better.
Yeah.
We like things that are better.
Good times.
Do you like things that are better?
I do.
I happen to like things that are bitter too. It's not just you. How good's that? All right, awesome sauce. Do you want to play New Zealand's...
There was no URC at the weekend.
Oh.
Six Nations was on.
Is that the way it works?
Mostly, yeah.
All right, so there's no URC next weekend either?
I don't think so. I think there might be one catch-up game.
All right.
The Lions have got to play somebody, I think.
Oh, they're going to lose to somebody. Sorry, Rian. Sorry, Rian.
Haven't heard from Rian for a while.
He commented in the last week's podcast.
Oh, we have heard from Rian recently.
Yes, because I said during it, I felt like I could hear him crying. And then he wrote down, I'm bawling, bawling.
Sorry, Rian.
And B-A-W-L-I-N-G, not like bawling. It wasn't like, I'm bawling. I'm bawling.
Got a new house, motherfuckers. Yeah,
rolling in stacks of cash.
Mm-hmm. Rands.
And Rand. You need a lot of them. They have stacks. All right. Anything else? Well, we covered the week of rugby.
We're going to have a lot of rugby to talk next week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got Super Rugby and then I'm not that inspired by that week of Six Nations, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, it feels like a week. All of those three games. I mean, Scotland-England seems to be the sexiest.
That's the sexiest. But even that with Scotland coming up
current woes and England's form seems like it could be a bad result. For the Scots.
But nevertheless, we will watch the games.
I'll watch them all.
Live. And I'll attempt to watch as much as I possibly can. And then you'll give your informed takes. I'll give my uninformed takes. Hilarity will ensue. Tangents will happen as they have happened on this podcast called
2 cents Gets Distracted, right? Podcast. It is available on your podcasting platforms. This week, I must say, we're without sponsorship.
Oh,
so if you're like, you
Lydia
know what,
sponsored
I'd like
the beers.
That's true. I'm drinking Tony's partner's beers, soon to be wife. If you want to sponsor the pod,
sponsor away,
or just my channel, and like, if you just want to sponsor my regular videos and fuck this guy off,
fuck, this is on my channel, man.
Get in touch. Fuck. Or if you want to sponsor his videos. Of which there are many.
So many of those. I made one last.
Send me an email. I feel like my rates are reasonable.
Yeah. Did I make a video last year? I made one.
I think you did. Other than the pod.
Shit. Yeah.
Tony, you should do more of this. And you were like.
This takes a while. I produce one of these a week.
True.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Well, it's a weekly podcast event. This is one thing we don't ask very often. If you're listening, please leave a review on whatever podcasting app you use. Those are good for us.
Hilarity will ensue.
It sure will. All right, good on you, Mark. Well done. Fantastic work. Thank you for watching.
As always, take care, folks.
Adida.